Our first speaker is Professor Gary Sick. He's director of Golf 2000 Project at the University of Columbia. He has served on National Security Council with Presidents Ford, Reagan, and Carter, and he's now an active member of academic body at University of Columbia. He'll be speaking about the U.S. foreign policy, and I would invite him up to deliver his speech. Professor Sick, please.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I want to just confirm, can you hear me all right? Okay, I gather that everybody can hear me, and that's fine. I would like to speak very briefly about the problem of U.S. foreign policy. First of all, let me start by pointing out that there is a new strategic reality in the region, in and around the Persian Gulf and Iran. Thanks to the United States, the Taliban and Saddam Hussein are both gone. And that may be a mixed blessing, but it is one that is a fact. And that has, in some ways, clarified Iran's strategic choices, that the two key players that they were most concerned with in the past are no longer there. And that gives them a certain freedom of action. The other thing that I think is very important, and I don't believe is widely understood, is that the United States itself is now a Middle East power. We're accustomed to thinking of the United States being a distant power that comes in, participates in various operations, and then gets out. The United States is there. We may not be there forever, but we are there in Afghanistan, we are there in Iraq, we are there in Central Asia, just north of Iran, and we are certainly there in the Persian Gulf, both in the Arab Sheikhdoms and also in the at sea, where the United States has a huge presence. The United States today has a larger military, economic, and political presence than even some of the major countries in the region. And it simply has, Iran and the United States today are neighbors. And that is a second new fact that I think really must be taken account of if we are going to understand what's going on at the present time. This is a very long-term process. It started in the 1970s. Without doing a whole review of the history, let me just touch on some of the key points that I think have created the situation that the United States and Iran find themselves in today. The first really was the revolution and the hostage crisis. That demolished the American security structure in the region, which depended almost exclusively on Iran and on the person of the Shah. That was a huge shock to the U.S. policymakers and forced a reevaluation of U.S. policy in the region as a whole. Then the Iran-Iraq war, of course, the United States sided with Iraq and Saddam Hussein, with one brief exception, and that was the Iran-Contra scandal, where the United States, in fact, was prepared to sell military equipment to Iran in the mid-1980s in an attempt to open a strategic relationship, but also to get Iran's assistance in freeing American hostages that were held in Lebanon. That was a huge change in U.S. policy and immediately was retracted, and the United States went back even more vigorously to support Iraq and Saddam Hussein. Then in the first Gulf War, when Saddam attacked Kuwait, the United States intervened with major force, and that was the end, if you like, of the U.S. Saddam relationship, at least the very cozy relationship that they had had for, at that stage, almost 10 years, 8 years at least. And after that war, you'll recall that the first George Bush said quite famously that goodwill begets goodwill, and he was talking there about if Iran would assist the United States in helping to free the hostages in Lebanon and other areas, that the United States would reciprocate. Well, Iran eventually did help. By 1991, a lot of the hostages, the end of 1991, a lot of the hostages had been released. But by that time, the United States was engaged in a political campaign, and nothing got done after that. Then we had a long period of time, seven years of dual containment under the Clinton administration, which imposed very heavy sanctions on Iran and no serious efforts to make an opening, to find a way for the two countries to deal with each other. But after President Khatami came in, Clinton did in fact make an attempt to talk to Iran in 2000, but Iran did not reciprocate. And this, in a way, is the story of the U.S.-Iran relationship, that whenever one side, I compare it to a seesaw, or where when one side is prepared to talk, the other side is not, and vice versa. And it's very, very difficult to find a time when both countries feel comfortable enough that they will, in fact, deal with each other. And we've seen that happen now in several different occasions. Iran and the United States had a good close relationship after the Afghan war, where they worked out the Karzai government, but then that broke down when the Karine A ship was discovered on its way to Palestine, and then the United States adopted the identified Iran as a member of the Axis of Evil. Then after the invasion of Iraq, there was a lot of talk in the United States about, by the neocons particularly, about whether the United States should turn right, that is, go to Iran, or to turn left, to go to Syria next. In the end, the United States ended up bogged down in the Iraqi situation. And today, the United States and Iran have a very peculiar relationship. We understand that the other is quite important, that each of them has a role to play in the region, but we haven't found a way to talk to each other. In the meantime, the United States has been very consistent indeed in opposing all efforts by Iran to get nuclear capability, nuclear technology. The United States has opposed it at every stage, and not just within the terms of the Non-Proliferation Treaty. On the contrary, the United States has taken the position that they did not want Iran to get nuclear capability under any circumstances. This, of course, creates a real dilemma, because the Non-Proliferation Treaty does in fact say that Iran has a right to nuclear technology. They have a right to reprocessing and the like. But what is gradually happening in the international community today is that many countries are beginning to recognize that the Non-Proliferation Treaty was very badly drafted in the first place. Today we have something like 30 to 40 countries in the world, not just Iran, who are very, very close to being able to produce nuclear weapons. And so basically many of these countries, 20, 30 of them, if they decided to do so within a very few months, could in fact produce a nuclear weapon. That's a very, very dangerous thing for the world. And so the Europeans in particular are very much aware of that, and there's a lot of thought being given to what can be done to try to reduce the dangers of this kind of extraordinary nuclear proliferation, where you could have one country becoming a nuclear power and that leading to a number of others. Nobody has come up with a solution for that yet. The United States is taking a very hardline position. They just ignore the Non-Proliferation Treaty and say that Iran has no right to these, that we can't trust Iran to have this kind of nuclear technology. Iran, of course, insists that it has every right under the treaty, as it does, to do this, and that is sort of where the situation ends. The United States attempting to put pressure on, and Iran insisting on its rights. That is, of course, complicated by the fact that the United States is currently involved in a political campaign. And the United States, until November 2nd is over and we know who the next president is going to be, there's going to be no policy making in the United States. on this issue or many others. And in fact, both sides feel that they must take a hardline position. That is typical because basically no one in the United States wins any votes by saying anything nice about Iran. That is just not viewed as politically acceptable. So both sides are talking very tough. But if you listen carefully, Senator Kerry has indicated that from his point of view, the way to deal with this is actually some kind of discussions. And also, if you listen even more carefully, President Bush has said that this is a problem that needs to be resolved by diplomacy. It's not quite clear what he means by that, and it's not quite clear what Senator Kerry would in fact do if the opportunity arose to have discussions. But I think it is worth asking ourselves in this back and forth process that Iran and the United States have been through for a long time, it's worth asking ourselves, if the United States after the election said we are prepared to open a dialogue with Iran on all sorts of issues, including the NPT, and including nuclear technology, and including positive safeguards that would help reassure the world that Iran is not going to accept, is not going to go for nuclear weapons, what would Iran say? Would Iran, in fact, be willing to agree to that? I don't know the answer to that question, but it's a very important one to think about, I believe, as we look at where we go from here, and of course the future doesn't look particularly bright. With that, I will stop and let other people have an opportunity to give their talks as well. I look forward to hearing questions from the audience and from the moderators. Thank you.